In Matthew chapter 1, let me read one verse to begin our message this morning. And I want to preach a message titled, Joseph, the Husband of Mary. I'll be reading verse 19. And we've been looking at some of the people in the Bible that were waiting for the consolation of Israel, that knew the Word of God and loved God, and that was waiting for the first coming of Christ. Now, you and I are waiting for the second coming of Christ. We're on this side of the cross. And we see the anticipation of Anna, Simeon, Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and now this morning Joseph. All of these were anticipating the coming of Messiah. Now, have you ever heard a sermon on Joseph? I've never preached one on Joseph. I got thinking about this as I've been looking at some of these New Testament, or beginning of the New Testament, some of these individuals that were waiting for Messiah. Got thinking about Joseph. He's an unsung hero. He's the forgotten man. Even in Christmas plays, if you've ever seen one, he's usually the man standing around in a robe and sandals with no script. And if he does have a script, he's only got just a few words and just not a whole lot said about him. And I've been digging for 2 weeks looking for things, and I found a lot about Joseph. Now notice as we read in verse 19, we have these words, and it says, Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege that You've given us to be able to assemble together in Thy house with Thy people of like precious faith. And Lord, we ask this morning Your anointing and blessing to be upon the reading of Scripture. We pray, Lord, again that You speak to our hearts this day, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen, and you may be seated. Now, notice it's as we come to this text, and again, as we look at Joseph, his account is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, and Luke chapter 2. Now, he's mentioned in a few other places, and we'll make note of that in a few moments. But it's easy to skip over his life. It's easy to skip over the things that are said about Joseph when we're focusing in on others, and especially Mary and the Lord Jesus. His life can be of great value to you and I, can be of great encouragement to us as we are waiting for the consolation of the church, and we're waiting for the Lord Jesus to return again one day. And so we're going to take a look at Joseph here. Now, first of all, you see my outline on the board. We're going to look at Joseph's introduction. Let's notice how that he is introduced to us, and I want to read verse 19 again, then I want to back up and consider verse 16. We'll read a few other verses in this chapter. We're definitely going to cover from verses 19 through the end of this chapter. We're going to look at just a few other things in this chapter as well. Now, as we come back here to verse 19, he said, Then Joseph, her husband being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, notice he was minded to put her away privily. As we come to this passage, we see that, and we read through the New Testament, Joseph was from Nazareth. He was of the royal house of David, according to verse 20 here in this passage, or maybe not 20, but we'll read the verse in just a moment. We know that he was a carpenter by trade, and I'll say something about that more in a few moments. We know that he was visited by an angel in this chapter, as Mary was about 3 months before the account that we're reading here. We also know that he was a man of great faith, and he was a man of prayer. And there's many more things that could be said about him. But notice as we come here to this passage, and reading this time in verse 16, he says in verse 16, he says, And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. The Lord is careful here as He introduces Joseph and introduces her as the husband of Mary, not as the father of Jesus Christ. Now, we'll refer to Him as the earthly father here this morning, but the Scriptures are very careful in saying that he is not the real father of Jesus Christ. Verse 16 again, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. You'll notice with me as we look into this chapter, we see that in verses 1 and 2, that this chapter is the record of Jesus Christ's human genealogy, from Abraham to David down to Joseph. Again, Joseph was of the royal house of David and Mary as well. But if we read in verse 1 and in verse 2, he said, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In verse 2, and Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. You come down to verse 6, I'm just skipping around, it says in verse 6, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Now, we'll notice as we read these verses, there's a lot of begetting that has taken place of the Father and the Son. And then we come to verse 16 again, and we look at this passage, we find that the word beget is not used here with the Father begetting a son when it comes to the story of Joseph, Mary, and the Lord Jesus. It said in verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now notice with me in verse 17 and in verse 18, and notice this passage here. He says here in verse 17 and verse 18, he said, and so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. That's the way this chapter is divided up from verses 1 through verse 17, a total of 42 generations. Now, as we come to verse 18, we find here in this passage, in verse 18, that he says, and now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. Now notice, there's a lot of important wording in this passage, all from here to the end of this chapter. And he says in this passage that, and as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to talk about, again, first of all, we're looking at Joseph's introduction. He is introduced to us in the Scripture here in Matthew chapter 1, also in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. Now, we know this as we read through the New Testament that the last time that Joseph is mentioned in Scripture will be when Jesus is 12 years of age. Been a lot of speculation as to when Joseph died, and I don't know when he died. But the last time he's mentioned is in Luke 2, verse 41 through 43, whenever Jesus was 12 years of age. And they were returning back to Jerusalem. And you know the story. We just read some of the passages here a week or so ago. And Jesus had been separated from his parents for a short period of time. And they returned back to Jerusalem. And so, we do not find Joseph during the time of Jesus Christ's ministry. So obviously, he had died, and I'm guessing, he had died obviously before that Jesus began his ministry. And there's been a lot of speculation. Most scholars believe he died right before that Jesus had begun his ministry. We know that in John 2, where that Jesus performs his first miracle, Joseph is not mentioned. And so as we come to the Scriptures, Joseph plays a great role in the Lord's life in his early years. We'll see that. And so when he died, we don't know for sure, but possibly he died at least by the time or before that Jesus Christ began his earthly ministry at 30 years of age. So Joseph probably played a big role in the life of Jesus Christ as He was growing up and teaching Him the trade, help training Him, and those kind of things. Now, notice with me, as we come here to verse 19 again, I'm going to come to my second point, and Joseph's integrity. Now, I want you to think about this. We've seen the integrity of Anna and Simeon, Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary, the mother of Jesus. But what about Joseph's integrity? He says here in verse 19, then Joseph, notice her husband, notice being a just man. That has kind of stood out to me because when we read through the Scriptures, we found that the Bible tells us in Luke, and not asking you to turn there, but in Luke chapter 1, God tells us when it comes to Zacharias and Elizabeth, it says in verse 6 that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. So we find in the very beginning here in Joseph's life, in the testimony, the record that God has given him, he says here in this passage that Joseph was a just man. I want to focus in on that just for a few moments, talking about his integrity. This is God's record and God's testimony of Joseph. He was a just man. I want you to turn with me, please, to the Old Testament and turn with me to Proverbs. And notice with me as we go to Proverbs chapter 20. Now, this is a very important word. When we see the word righteous or the word just, God speaks of the just and the unjust. God speaks of the righteous and the unrighteous. As a matter of fact, He said that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9, 10, and verse 11. So notice with me, as we come here to this passage, I'm going to be reading in Proverbs chapter 20, and again, this is nothing new for us, but when we think of Joseph, we want to think, first of all, the first thing that God really tells us about this man is that he was a just man. Before he has an appearance, a vision from an angel, before anything else takes place, we find that he was a just man. Now notice as we come to the book of Proverbs. Now what does it mean to be just? Well, we know that Joseph and Mary were still living at a time when the law of God of the Old Testament was still well in effect. And he to be just in this sense as Zacharias and Elizabeth, it means that he was observant of the law of God. Now, I was talking to somebody the other day on the phone. They had called me and I was talking about, we were talking about the laws of God. And trying to contrast between the old and new. And I said, but listen, there's over 1,000 New Testament commandments. And they said, what? And I said, yeah, as Christians, there's plenty of commandments in the New Testament that God wants you and I to walk by and live by. Not saved by keeping them, but He wants us to walk and live by them. So the word just is speaking, yes, of a believer, speaking of those who are upright. It has many meanings. It means to be fair-minded. Behaving according to what is moral, what is right, what is fair. And basically, as you come through the Old and into the New Testament, those who are just are those who are walking in the ways of God. That would be the best way to put it. When God says that someone is just or they're righteous, yes, they're saved, but He's also referring to those who are walking in the ways of God. So we're talking about Joseph's integrity. The word integrity means to be sincere. It means to be undivided, complete, that which is sound, that which is undefiled, that which is unbroken. That's what the word integrity means. Now notice with me as we read in Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 7. And I, by the way, I made mention of this a few weeks ago. I challenge you to go through, take a concordance and go through the book of Proverbs alone, and look at the times that the word just is used in contrast with the wicked or the unjust. I went through this week in just a few, chapter 4, chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 21, chapter 29. I just wrote down some verses. In other words, it contrasts between the just, the unjust, the just and the wicked, the just and the unrighteous. And again, we see that the just person is the individual that is walking in the ways of the Lord. So he says here in Proverbs chapter 20, reading in verse 7, he said, "The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." So who is the just man? The just man is the man that walketh in his integrity, the man that's walking in the ways of the Lord. Notice with me in chapter 24, the book of Proverbs. In chapter 24. And notice here as we read in chapter 24, again just one verse. He says here in chapter 24, reading in verse 16, he says that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now it's easy for anyone to fall. But he says here that the righteous man or the just man, he says the just man falls seven times and rises up again. In other words, the just man will rise up out of whatever that he or she falls in. One writer said that sheep may fall into a ditch, but it's a swine that wallows in it. And so the righteous man, the just man, the man who's walking in the ways of the Lord, the man or woman who is a believer, who is trusting God, who is following God's Word, we find here in the Scriptures that this individual, even if they do stumble and fall, they get up out of that and move on for the glory of God. Notice with me in Psalms chapter 15. For the last 4 weeks, I've got Psalms laying right here that we're going to start singing. And I keep putting it off. I was going to do it last Sunday night, last Wednesday night. We're going to be singing this Psalm, hopefully, especially the time we get into a new year. But notice as I read from Psalms chapter 15, if you'll remember, I preached a message on this probably a few years ago from this chapter. This is a beautiful Psalm. But I want you to notice the importance that is placed upon the individual who will dwell in the house of God. Now, keep in mind that in Genesis, I'm going to give you a few other verses. In Genesis 6, 9, I believe it is, 6, 8, in chapter 7 and verse 1, Noah, you'll find the word just, and I believe also the word righteous that is used with Noah in his day, in contrast with those that are wicked. In Job chapter 1, we find that Job was a perfect and upright man. Again, has to do with being a just man. Zacharias and Elizabeth, Luke chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. And then in Acts chapter 10, verse 22, you find that Cornelius, I think we went and looked at him a few weeks ago in another study, but Cornelius, the Bible said he was a just man. He was a man that came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a just man. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 9 it says, "And hath walked in my statutes and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God." So again, this is a subject we find over and over. And so it's important that we understand when we consider Joseph's integrity that God Himself, not someone else, but God Himself says that Joseph was a just man. Now notice with me as we come to Psalms, in the book of Psalms, and we'll be reading in chapter 15, and I'll notice as we begin in verse 1. He says here, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" Now he's going to tell you who. He said in verse 2, he said, "And he that walketh uprightly." That's what we're talking about, a just man. A just man is someone who's walking in the ways of the Lord. A just woman is someone who is walking, she's walking in the ways of the Lord. And he said in verse 2, "And he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart." In verse 3, "He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor." In verse 4, "In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, and but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. A beautiful passage describing the just man or the just woman. You and I realize today that we live in a time where there's a lot of deceit. There's a lot of unjustness, I guess I could put it that way, in this world in which we live. I mean, even in the business world, we were talking about this the other night, even in the business world, most people cannot be honest. There's a sale on something here, recently, and so they put out this little paper, you know, the things you get in the mail, and I went to check on it, and they said, no, that's been sold out, and it wasn't nothing big, it's only probably $10. And, you know, but anyway, I asked them, you know, after driving to the store, I asked them, and I said, well, you know, you just mailed out the paper 3 days ago. And they said, oh, we've been sold out for over a week. I said, so you mailed out the paper knowing that you were sold out. Yes. You know. Well, that doesn't line up with the text that we're reading right now. And I'd ordered something else, an auto part. Well, it should be here. And you go and pay for it, and it's going to be next week sometimes. I've had this happen 3 or 4 times in just the last few weeks, you know. And he's describing the just man, the man that walks in his integrity. Chapter 24, the book of Psalms. We'll read this, and then we'll go back to the New Testament. But notice in chapter 24 of the book of Psalms, reading in verse chapter 24, verse 3 and 4, it said this, "And who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place?" Now he's going to give you an answer. He said this, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." So now notice back with me in Matthew chapter 1, we're talking about that in Joseph's integrity, that he was a just man. There was no deceit. There was no uncleanness in his eyes as he walked before the Lord. Notice with me as we come back here to this passage, and we're going to continue looking at his integrity. Notice he says here in verse 19, said, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example," says he was minded. Now think about this. He thought about these things. He was not willing to bring her to a public shame. Now, here's a young lady, Mary. We talked about her last Sunday night. Here's a young lady, and we gave an idea of how old that we thought she was. But here, the angel reveals himself to her, and then she goes and sees Elizabeth. When I got the story right, Elizabeth was 6 months along with child. And so she stays there about 3 months. Now she's already had a vision from an angel that's told her what's going to take place. She's been gone for 3 months. And now she comes back and she tells Joseph. She's 3 months with child now. And he hadn't had the vision yet. And still yet, when we consider his integrity, here's a man that he was not willing to put her to open shame and an open scandal. I read this verse to you, I think it was last Sunday night, in Deuteronomy, and you can write down Deuteronomy 22, verse 23 and 24, but Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 says this, says, "When a man had taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he had found some uncleanness in her, that is, she was unfaithful during their betrothal time, during the time they were engaged, as we call it today." He goes on to say, "Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house." And so Joseph finds out about this, and we're talking about his integrity. He didn't go crazy. He didn't try to hurt anybody. And here he's trying to think this thing through. He had three choices. He could either put her to a public shame. She could have been brought before the elders. And I don't know that they were still stoning people at this time, but I mean, this thing could have been very severe for Mary. And she could have been brought before the courts. She could have been brought before the elders of the city, and no telling what would have happened. So he could have made a public example out of her, because he's thinking in his mind, she's with child, and we've been engaged. And please understand that the engagement at this time was binding and could only be broken by divorce. You know, we hear people talk today in our society, in and out of relationships. That's the way they call them today. They don't call anything marriage anymore, and engagement or espousal or things of that nature. In and out of relationships and all these kind of things. You weren't in and out of relationships at this time. When you decided you wanted to get married, you were engaged or espoused to someone, and that was binding, and only a divorce could break that. When you made a commitment, you're going to marry somebody, you're going to marry them. Amen? And it's a whole lot different than what we see in our society today. So he could have put her to a public shame, or he could put her away privately, or he could marry her. So he's thinking in his mind that he would not embarrass her, not put her to a scandal or shame or whatever, again, and so he's going to put her away secretly. And then notice with me in verse 20. In other words, what I'm getting at is he treated her with dignity. Did he have to do that? Well, he was a just man. He was not an unjust man. He was not a wicked man. He was a man that was following the Lord. He was a young man that loved the Lord. And so he's going to try to do the right thing. And you know, when I read through the scriptures, and again, we looked at this recently, and I think about the chapter in the Bible that deals with charity. You know, this fits Joseph all the way. The Bible tells us, and I'm just going to read a few verses out of 1 Corinthians 13. And I want you to think about this. There was no revenge in his heart. There was grace. Even though he doesn't understand this, even though he's meditating upon this and thinking about it, well, this is not my child, she's with child, and, you know, and I'm not going to marry her now. He's thinking all these things through, and still yet there was kindness and love for Mary. He treated her with dignity. And when we come to the Bible, we find that love is not rude. We find that it is kind, it is patient, it is thoughtful, it is truthful. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 4, beginning in verse 4, says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. That was Joseph. And it says, and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And it says in verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Joseph was a just man. We see his integrity. He was not rude. He was kind. He didn't understand it all. He's probably hurt. And still yet he responded in a biblical way. He kept things private. There was no slander, there was no gossip, there was no backbiting. As we read about, as we come through the scriptures, that happens many times with people. And here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 13 verses 1 through and 3 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know what he's saying in those three verses? He's saying there is no substitute for love or for charity. There's nothing that you can give your body to be burned and it won't work, because there's no substitute for charity. And then he tells us what charity is in verse 4, 5, 6, 7, and in verse 8. And so, as we come back here, notice with me now as we come to verse 20. Are you getting what I'm trying to convey to you this morning? I spent 2 weeks on this, thinking about this man and thinking about his faith and his love for the Lord, and his love for this young lady that he was engaged to. And still yet come to find out now that she comes back. She's had a vision from an angel. The angel come and spoke to her, and you're going to have a child. And 3 months before this, he's not had a vision from an angel. And now we find that in verse 20, notice, but while he thought on these things, before I read any farther, he thought on these things. He as a man of God, he did not make quick decisions. He waited on God, and God revealed himself to him. His decisions was not based upon feelings, was not based upon circumstances once the truth came to him. He's a man of prayer and meditation. He's a man of truth. He's a man of wisdom. He's a man that loves the Word of God. Now notice verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now he's getting a revelation 3 months later that Mary had gotten. And then in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and what's the next word? And what? Thou. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Who is going to name the child? Joseph. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The angelic being is showing Joseph the plan of salvation can only come through the Messiah, and the Messiah is going to come through his family now. And he goes on to say, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so he's thinking and meditating upon these things. He's already chose to put her away secretly, not make a public scandal and bring harm and hurt to her, even though his heart is probably hurting at this time, not understanding all of this. Why is he doing all this? Because he's a just man. Now God gives him the word, as Mary had gotten 3 months before, and saying to Joseph, saying, look here, let me show you what all this is about. Now I want you to notice with me that as we come to verse 24 and in verse 25. And please keep in mind, again, he thought on these things. He meditated on these things. And the angelic being came and gave him the truths of the Word of God. And so he responds to that. And now I want to come to my third point and talk about Joseph's faithfulness. We see him introduced in Scripture in the beginning of the New Testament. We see his integrity. And also I want you to see several areas whereby Joseph was very faithful to God and to his Word. In other words, when we talk about Joseph's faithfulness, we're talking about his obedience to the will of God and to the Word of God. Let's look at the first things here. In other words, he was a spiritual leader. And we're going to find that he took his role as husband and father. And he made no excuses once the Word of God was revealed to him. He protected and provided for his family. He married the woman that God told him to marry. Are you with me? If we all did that, if this society we lived in was following those, he married the woman that God told him to marry. People want to marry who they want to marry instead of who God wants them to marry. Now I want you to notice that in verse 24, it says this, it says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. He's obedient. And the Bible said in verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn. He not only married the woman God told him to marry, he took his wife and in verse 25, maintained her purity by his self-control. Now think about this man. And I want you to notice something else. Notice with me in verse 25 is that he, as he was commanded to call the child Jesus, which had to do with the salvation of sins, in verse 21, notice in verse 25, it says, "And you are not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So right immediately, he believes the Word of God that came to him from heaven through the angelic being. And the first two things he does, he marries the woman God said to marry. He took her unto his wife. And he maintained her purity through until after that Jesus was born. And not only that, we find that he called the child Jesus as God had commanded him. But this is not all. I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke. This may not do anything for you, but it has been a blessing to me. Notice with me Luke chapter 2. Notice with me in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read in Romans 15 toward the end of the message and show you why I'm doing this month, why I'm spending the month of December and looking at several of these people that were looking for the first coming of Jesus Christ. Now notice in Luke chapter 2, I'm going to be reading in verse 21, and I want to show you several things that Joseph did by faith. Why? Because he was a just man. Because he was a believer. Because he was a follower of the Lord. Now notice the first thing I want you to notice he did by faith. It's going to be in verse 21. He, by faith, saw to it that the child was circumcised according to the law of God on the eighth day. Notice in verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished, for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Joseph played a part in the fact that he saw to it that according to the covenant of God in the Old Testament, God made a covenant with Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 17, begin reading about verse 10 through the end of that chapter, you'll find that on the eighth day the child was to be circumcised, and this was associated with the covenant that God made with Abraham that they would be separated from all the other nations. They would be a peculiar people. They would be the covenant people of God. And God said, you shall be my people, and he said, I will be your God. So Joseph obeyed. By faith, he obeyed the law of God, and saw to it that the child would be circumcised on the eighth day. Not the ninth or the tenth or the 20th, but on the eighth day. Now notice the second thing that he did by faith. He kept, in verse 22 and 23, the ceremonial law that was still in effect at this time in the purification of his wife after the firstborn child. He even offered a sacrifice. Notice verse 22 through verse 24. It says, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Verse 24. "And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now they were poor. They couldn't bring a lamb according to Leviticus, I believe it's chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And so they were poor, so they brought a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. But the point is, now listen to me, by faith, Joseph, a just man, saw to it the child was circumcised on the eighth day. By faith, he saw to it in keeping the ceremonial law in the purification of his wife. And then by faith, we see also in verse 41 and in verse 42, he kept the Passover. Notice as we come down to verse 41 and verse 42. We have these words in verse 41 and verse 42. He says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. We read about the feast of Passover and all the other feasts in Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy chapter 16 in verse 1, we see the Passover. In other words, by faith, this just man, what does the word just mean? It has the idea of walking in the ways of the Lord, keeping the commandments and ordinances of God. This just man, we find here that he kept the Passover. In other words, he went every year to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. He takes Jesus with him at this time. Jesus is 12 years of age. And we find, I believe, that he taught Jesus the law of God, as well as Mary would have done the same thing. But by faith, Joseph kept the Passover. Notice with me as we move on, notice back with me in Matthew chapter 2. Let's look at something else. In Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. Now I want you to notice here, by faith, Joseph protected his family in fleeing with the child and going into Egypt. You say, well, that's no big deal. He left his country and went into another country. They didn't have trains and planes and automobiles. About all they had was donkeys or walking on your feet. Walking there. And many miles. We know that in Hebrews 11 that Abraham went out of Ur of the Chaldees. He went out not knowing where he was going, and he followed God for many, many hundreds of miles walking or riding a camel or a donkey. So by faith, we're going to read about now in Matthew 2 that he protected his family and by taking the child and fleeing to Egypt as God said. Chapter 2, notice with me. I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. He says here in verse 13, and when they had departed, well, let me back up just a little bit in verse 12. It says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in the country another way. Now, these were the wise men. We'll say something about them this evening. He said, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now I'm going to read verse 16, 17, and 18. We're going to talk about those verses this evening. But notice, and by the way, the first martyrs for Christ are in verse 16, 17, and 18, and their children. Their children. Yes, or under. Yes, sir. Yes. First martyrs for Christ are children under 2 years of age. Now notice though, in the passage that we're looking at, is it by faith? See, by faith, he not only kept God's law, kept the Passover, by faith, when the Word of God came to him, they left in the night and fled to Egypt, went into another country. Into another country. And see, what he's doing, he's just waiting on God, following God's Word, and they stay in Egypt until God comes again and says, it's time to leave. He's protecting his family. He's protecting the child and the mother of the child. He's protecting the Lord Jesus as he's a young child. He flees into another country to do this. You got to meditate on that a while. And think what it would take for you to get up and carry all you could take with you is what you could carry on in your hands or on your back or maybe on a donkey, and you're leaving for you don't know how long. You don't know where it's 2 months. Or 10 years, you don't know how long you're going to be gone. Now notice with me as we come now to verse 19 of this same chapter, we're going to find that the Word of God comes to him again, and by faith, he's a just man, he returns back to Israel. In verse 19, he says here, "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel." In verse 23, "And he came and dwelt in a city." He's diverted again, but it says in verse 22, "But he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." I mean, this is easy to read over and say, yeah, this is the story of the birth, and this is what happened, and so forth. It's easy to just look over the faith that you would have to get up and leave your home, and leave everything that you've got. Joseph was a carpenter, and he had a business. And leave everything that you've got, go into a foreign country, waiting on God there, and then God gives you the word, said, okay, now it's time to go back, you're coming back, and the angel come to you again, said, don't go here, but go over here, and you're just following the Lord every step of the way. That's why he's called a just man. He's not playing games with God. When God says something, he does it. When God says, marry this woman, he marries her. When God says, call his name Jesus, he called his name Jesus. When God says, keep the Passover, he kept the Passover. When God says, circumcise a child at 8 days, years, he circumcised him at 8 days. When he said, bring your wife to the temple and give the sacrifice for the purification of her, he brought her and gave the sacrifice. When he says, I want you to flee your homeland and flee and go into Egypt, he just fled. When he said, okay, now it's time to come back, he came back. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 13. Let me read in verse 55, just for time's sake. I'm going to just read the one verse. This is years later, and in verse 53, it says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and when he was come into his own country." Now this is during the time of his ministry. And Joseph is not mentioned as far as being alive at this time. And it says, "He taught them in their synagogue, inasmuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" But notice the next verse. It says, "Is not this the carpenter's son? And his mother called Mary," and he starts mentioning his brethren and so forth in this verse, in verse 56 and verse 57. You know the reason I turned to this passage and read it? I believe that Joseph not only protected his family when it was time to flee in Egypt, when it was time to come back, but I believe he provided for his family. He was known as the carpenter. How was he known as the carpenter? Because that was his vocation. That was what they knew him. That was his business. And so he provided for his family. And had at least six other children, according to our text. That's going to make, counting Jesus, that's going to be at least seven children. And he's a carpenter. He's known as the carpenter. Jesus was known as the carpenter's son. And so I, in my mind, when I read these, he probably taught Jesus the trade and was a good example to him. He worked and provided for his family, trained his sons in the same trade. And see, all of these things are important when we consider that when he's introduced into the New Testament, one of the first things that God says about Joseph, he is a just man, showing us of his integrity. And then we see his faithfulness as we go from one account to the next in Matthew and Luke, and in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, we see his obedience to the Word of God. And even here in Matthew chapter 2, we see his obedience to the Word of God. Joseph was a man of faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. So he was a man of the book. He was a man of faith and he was willing to follow God as God came to him. He simply just did what God commanded. He believed in the authority of the Word of God. And this is one of the problems in our society today, is that people, we do what we want to do instead of doing what God has commanded in His Word. That's why there's so much frustration in most people's lives. Now go with me to Romans chapter 15. I've quoted this for 3 weeks. Notice I'm in Romans chapter 15 and notice here. You see, as we look at those who were waiting for the consolation of Israel, those who are waiting for the coming of Messiah, the Christ, those who are waiting for the first coming of Jesus Christ, we see their faith, their love for the Word of God, their obedience to the commandments of God. Well, you and I are also waiting for Messiah. We're waiting for that same Messiah that was born in Bethlehem, that went to the cross and died. We're waiting for Jesus Christ to come again. And that's exactly what God tells us in many places. In Hebrews 9, in verse 28, it says, "And so Christ was once offered for to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." We're waiting for Christ to come the second time without sin unto salvation. And then in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 3, it said, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." That's what Mary did. That's what Joseph did. That's what Zacharias did. That's what Elizabeth did. That's what Anna did. That's what Simeon did. They purified themselves. They walked with God. They waited for the consolation of Israel at this time. Notice with me as we come to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, we'll close in this passage. Romans chapter 15, I've mentioned this again for about two or three weeks. I'm going to be reading verse 4. Be reading in verse 4. Beautiful passage. And the Lord tells us here through this letter, Romans 15, 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written," notice, "for our learning." First of all, it's written for our learning, that we can learn something. This week I have learned a lot from Joseph in his life. Learned something. He says here that these things are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Joseph was a man that has taught me something this week. Joseph was a man, I believe, that had much patience. Put yourself in his position. He was a man that was comforted by the Scripture. He was a man that had hope in the coming of Messiah. And when this Messiah is to come through his family, he welcomed this opportunity and thought it was a great privilege that they would be able. This is the man that God chose to raise his son. This is the man that God chose to raise his only son. You really thought that through? We spoke last Sunday night, Mary, of all the women on earth, out of all the young maidens, out of all the women in Israel at this time, God looked down upon Mary. And I tried to show you why He picked out Mary. But He looked down and He picked out one young lady and chose her to be the mother of His only son. Joseph, out of all the men in Israel, out of all the men upon the face of the earth, in the first century, God looked down and chose Joseph to be The one that would raise His only Son. We can learn a lot from Joseph. We can learn a lot from him. He had much integrity. He was a just man. And he was faithful every time that God spoke. Now listen to me. Every time that God spoke to Joseph, Joseph didn't argue or make excuses. Joseph stood up and said, "Let's go." He obeyed the Word of God. Shall we come and pray? Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. Dear God, we thank You for the Holy Spirit that abides within. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood for our sins that we can have eternal life, that our sins can be forgiven. We thank You, Lord, for those who are waiting for the consolation of Israel. We thank You, Lord, for those that You've recorded in Your Word that were waiting for the first coming of Messiah. Lord, You've given them to us for examples, examples of faith and integrity and truth. And God, we thank You for them. Help us to learn from them. Help us to have hope. Help us to have comfort in the Scripture that Your Word is true. Lord, help us to be faithful as we look toward the second coming of Messiah one day. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.